Doing the Sefer Amidot, and we're up to the section on hatred, Shar HaSin'ah. We're up to the fourth chapter, page Shin Lamed Hei. And the Magid Miduvna had begun the chapter discussing that a person should be forewarned that God loves his people. And so we should also be careful not to rebel against God's will and hate those that God loves. So that was his opening paragraph here. Vedan, I want you to know, that whenever someone does something out of line, hadin mekatreg, then in heaven there's this concept of midat hadin, exacting justice, that comes as our prosecutor and says, hey, he did such and such. Umidat rachmim mitnaged umatzil. And then we have this concept of the divine mercy that expresses itself to save a person. Omnam b'davar hazeh gam amidat rachamim b'avur itgabrut rachamim al chavercha itragez alecha. A person has to know that if he has hatred to his fellow man, so then even the divine mercy is aroused against him, because the mercy is aroused against the one who is hated. So then he finds himself, so to speak, having both aspects against him in heaven. The din is held against him and the rachamim. Kemamar, as the verse says, and we just had it, Vayachi Yitzak Elai, God says, be careful with the orphan, because if you persecute those that are weaker in society, so then when they yell to me, Vishamati Kichanun Ani, God says, I listen because I am merciful. Vaz gamidat rachamim itapech alecha ledin. And then the Magid Miduvna warns, even the mercy from above is judging against the person if he hates his fellow man. So who is one taking faith in when he is rebelling and hating a fellow Jew? Al ken male ratzon adoncha, therefore, says the Magid Miduvna, fulfill the will of your master, lehof nefesh chavercha kenafshecha, to love your fellow man like yourself. Let me tell you a story. True story. Two people living in an apartment, and they both use the hot water urn. Okay? So, if you've been living here in Israel, you know our water supply runs across the rocks and absorbs a lot of the calcium from the rocks. And so, if you use the water here in Israel, you know that the heating elements get covered with, what do they call it in English?
Calcium carbonate.
Calcium carbonate. In Hebrew, we call it avnit, fairly quickly. So, one of the ways to get rid of it is you boil water and you put in vinegar. And then the vinegar acts. It's vinegar is an acid. The calcium is a base. The two act together and you clean off your hot water urn. Now, just be careful because it also eats away the metal. I did this numerous times. In our house, we used a tea kettle, and it didn't last very long when we did this frequently. So that's the flip side of it, that it also eats away at the metal. But at any rate, so one of the roommates decides that he's going to clean off all that calcium carbonate off the heating element. So he puts in vinegar, and he turns on that water, and it boils. And it sits there, and sometimes you have to leave it to sit there for a while. And he leaves the room. The other roommate walks in, puts his hand on the hot water urn, feels it's nice and warm. So he takes the hot water, makes himself a coffee, right?
Oh, no.
So the first roommate walks into the room just in time to see the second roommate taste his coffee. And go, yuck, coffee today just isn't what it used to be, right? And he looks at him and, boom, figures out what happens. So what's the natural reaction? What we all did here, the natural reaction is to burst out laughing. What will you say if I'll tell you that the first roommate had real compassion and said, oh, I'm so sorry. He didn't even laugh. He really felt bad that he caused his roommate to end up drinking vinegar in his coffee, right? Vinegar, calcium carbonate, whatever it is. True story. But we can get there. The Magen Midivna says a person should develop himself to love his fellow man. Seems like an obvious thing. It's a pasuk, right? Vavtar re'acha kamocha. Love your friend as yourself. Do we even strive to get there? I was on the bus yesterday on my way here. And every so often, we come in through Binyamin. So our bus has had numerous times where different Palestinians try to come in on the bus. They get dressed up as Jews, and they board the bus. So usually we assume they don't mean any harm. They're just trying to get in without a work permit. We assume that. Sometimes, and one time, the person was sitting holding a tehillim upside down, shaking in front of it. You know, different things that gave him away. But we assume they don't mean harm, but we don't know. Meaning you don't know who's a suicide bomber. So there's one stop, which is the prevalent one. And very often I'll just look up to see who's boarding the bus. So yesterday, a woman boards the bus, and she has this really vicious look on her face. And I said to myself, is that a Jewish person? What kind of look is that? Again, she's approaching me, and I'm looking at her, and I look to see what she's carrying, and everything seems innocent. And then I just thought to myself, I feel bad for her husband and children or whatever, and I put my head back down into my sefer. It looked innocent to me. And then I said to myself, wait a second. So you already judged the person based on a look, right? And you're definitely not interested. Then it turned out she boarded with a guy who had the same look on his face. And I realized, okay, they're siblings or whatever. But it struck me, I said to myself, you know, maybe their Bon Shalom loves them more than he loves you. They're part of his people. I mean, they're we sometimes allow ourselves to make all kinds of judgment calls. We were on a crowded bus, and a guy boards the bus, and from the end of the bus, you could smell that he boarded the bus. So everyone's thinking the same thing. I hope he doesn't sit next to me, and I'm no exception. I'm also thinking, I hope he doesn't sit next to me. So our first thought is, that's going to be a very uncomfortable ride to be sitting next to this person. But wait a second, there's a whole human being here. Maybe there are so many aspects in which this human being is wonderful. And says the Magen Midivna, the Ribbono Shel Olam loves him too. And maybe, just maybe, loves him as much as he loves Nathanael Frankenthal, and maybe even more, believe it or not. So we have to humble ourselves a little bit and look realistically and see the positive, the Tzelem Elokim, to see that there's a reflection of God walking on the bus. It's true that the first thing we sense intrinsically, innately, the first thing we sense is the scent of the person who boarded the bus. But perhaps that's because we haven't trained our eyes. So we don't see godliness walking on the bus. You guys probably know the story of the Chafetz Chaim, right? That he once walked into a Beis Medrash. There was someone there who was retarded, and the people were teasing him. And it was one of the few times in which they saw the Chafetz Chaim get really upset. He said, that's a person who's so holy that he had almost nothing left to do in this world. So God gave that neshama a body and an intellect where it couldn't sin. All it has to do is fix one more thing in this lifetime. So it was given much less capacity, so that way it wouldn't mess things up. So this is one of the holiest neshamos around, and you mock it. So the question is, what do you look at, right? Guy boards the bus. What do we look at? So back to the Magen Midivna. The Magen Midivna says something which is within our reach. Meaning, just as the Magen Midivna was very down to earth throughout the book, he's still very down to earth. And he says, we have the responsibility to love our fellow man. One of the byproducts of that is that one is loved up above and people like him down below as well. He who loves his fellow man, people actually honor him, they respect him. I'll tell you another interesting thing that I discovered in entering the rabbinate position. Before we took the post, so my wife and I, we tried consulting with as many people as possible because it was new to us. So a friend of mine, we learned together in yeshiva, and now he has a position with another congregation. And he said to me, when you walk into shul Friday night, no one cares what you just went through. It doesn't matter if you had the most horrific Friday or the most horrific week. You walk into shul Friday night, what people want is optimism. Your speech, your countenance, your welcoming of people has to radiate optimism, happiness. That's what people want. They walk into shul, they want to walk away with hope, with a positive feeling. And that's what you have to radiate. And the fact that you walk into shul from hearing 15 different catastrophes is irrelevant. I remember one Friday I get a phone call. A good friend of mine is in need of a liver transplant. And this father of three or four was on the verge of death. He really died a short while later. And I get this phone call a few minutes before I'm walking into shul. Now I'm supposed to smile. And his words reverberated in my mind. So initially you think, this is my job, right? But what I discovered, and in speaking to other people, they had the same experience, is that when you walk in and you force yourself to smile and be positive to other people, by the time you're done and you walk out, you are positive and happy. It affects you. Initially, you force yourself to put on that smile because that's what you got to do. But by the end of the davening, by the time you come home, the world's a nicer place. So this idea that the Ma'an Miduvna is saying, he spells out, he says, you know, if you love your fellow man, so in heaven they'll love you, and down below they'll like you. And Netanel Frankenthal adds an adjunct and says, and you will end up being a happier person. By being positive, even if you fake it, you end up feeling more positive and seeing the world in a better light. Yeah?
That works not just in the Knesset, but everywhere.
For sure. Yeah, obviously. I didn't mean this is a spiritual thing for Beit Knesset. I mean in general, right? If you're positive, yeah. And here he gives us a very scary formula. Again, this seems high up there, but it's attainable. He says, try to evaluate your love of your fellow man like the love you have for your family members. Asher avatam chakuka luach libecha, that's engraved in your heart. V'tizer b'chvodam hutzonam hameh sheyesh b'yadcha, and so be careful with their honor and their will as you can. V'asei ritzonam kirtzoncha, and that's the idea. Try to do their will as though it were your will. Now, obviously this has to be taken within limits. That doesn't mean let everyone cut you in line when you're standing at the grocery store. But maybe it does mean to help the guy in front of you load his stuff on the wagon. You know, there are simple things. Sometimes you stand in line and you see the guy in front of you trying to load his stuff onto the checkout counter. Yeah, and if you help him, very often you'll win and he'll win. And otherwise you could just stand there watching, frustrated. Like, why isn't he done yet? Maybe if I helped him, it would go quicker. The bus to Kochav Yaakov, you guys know it's 3.5 shekel. So we board the bus once, and the guy next to me only has 100. And the driver says, I don't accept hundreds. I'm not breaking your bill. So the guy is like checking all his pockets, and he says, look, I don't have anything else. So the driver says, then I'm sorry, I can't take you. So I had this genius idea. I know this is far out. I said, can I pay the $350? You're like, what's the big deal? 350? Wouldn't you give 350 to help a guy? But it struck me because it's such a simple thing to do. Like, your fellow Jew needs 350. It's not like a big deal. So what? No one's trying to take advantage of you. But how often do we have those opportunities and we walk away from them? Small opportunities to help someone. But that's this idea. How do I look at the other person? I told you guys, maybe you weren't here yet, but there's a poem I wrote about the way the world is a cycle and our acts develop a cycle. And we have a choice. Some view the world as it's a dog-eat-dog world. But that's a big excuse for me to be the bigger dog. If I look at the world and I say, this is a beautiful place with beautiful people, and I'm not saying that people should be starry-eyed, and when the guy cuts you in line, you say, what a beautiful Jew just cut me in line. That's so beautiful. He must be on his way to go help an old lady and who knows what. Oh, you don't have to be stupid, but you can still view people positively. Doesn't mean you let people trample all over you, but it does mean to approach them positively. Small example.
It's easier when you're in Israel than to do it back at home. I mean, back where I grew up.
Okay. It was the time when Rabin was trying to incite everyone that we have to remove Jews from their homes, and the only obstacle to peace was the settlers. So in a very short period of time, the people who were hitherto viewed as the heroes of the land were suddenly demonized, and Rabin kept pushing this idea that the only reason we don't have peace with the Palestinians is because of the settlers. So there was a yeshiva in Tel Aviv where they ran out of milk. So one of the rabbis went out to buy a bag of milk. So he's in the makolet in Tel Aviv, and he's the exact picture of what they're portraying in the news. Big beard, big yarmulke, tzitzis coming out of his pants, and big knitted yarmulke. And he goes to a line, and a woman comes there and sees in him all the obstacles to world peace, right? And starts yelling at him, how dare he cut her in line. So he looks at her, and he says, lady, I'm very sorry. When I came, I didn't see you here. But if you were here, no problem. Go ahead. Now, he has one bag of milk. She's got a whole wagon. And he didn't, according to him, when he showed up to the line, she wasn't even there. But in her mind, she was there. So her jaw dropped. Like, she was prepared for this vicious settler to turn on her and say who knows what and do who knows what. And here he was. He stepped back and said, no problem. 100%. If you were here, go ahead. She stood there in silence, dumbstruck, for like 10, 15 seconds, not knowing what to say. And like, she looked at him like, you talk nicely. And he just smiled like she was in real shock and he didn't even know where she was coming from. But she was treating an obstacle to peace. She wasn't talking to a human being. So it was fair to come and berate him. And when suddenly he responded kindly, she took a step back and said, actually, I know you were here first. Go ahead. But that wasn't... My point was his reaction. He didn't yell. He saw in her what she didn't see in him. He saw there's a representation of God. And we sometimes get jaded, especially after you make Aliyah and you get cut in line one too many times. And you start feeling like, what's going on here? So we need reminders. So the Magen Midovna came to remind us. It says, a person who loves his fellow man is loved up above, and people like him and honor him down below. And a person should strive to be able to love his fellow man the way he loves his own family members. There are so many stories, but they're worthwhile stories. I'll tell you a small, simple story. But again, it shows sensitivity. There's throughout the years, I always try to find rabbis who I could learn by. The Mishnah says, "Aseh lecha rav." So I'm always looking to learn. One of the rabbis I had the good fortune of learning by was once walking after a session where he was teaching, so I was accompanying him trying to learn along the way. And I noticed that my shoelace got untied. So I didn't want to detain him. I knew we were a minute away from his house. I figured I'll accompany him till his house. I'll finish asking my questions or as much as I get in. And then when he goes up, I'll tie my shoe. He saw my shoe was untied. So he didn't say anything to me, because then it would end up being a discussion. Like, I would tell him, you know, your house is right there. I'll do it in a minute. So he didn't say a word. Suddenly he bent down and started tying his shoelace again. Right? Okay, that's a sensitivity. It blew me away. He didn't tell me, why don't you tie your shoelace? I don't mind waiting. Sensitivity. If you care for the other person, then you think two steps ahead how to do it in a way that he doesn't even feel like you did him a favor. And instead of doing my shoelace, I was looking. His shoelace didn't seem untied to me. Okay, so I did a quick do on my shoelace. But I was more focused to see, as I was doing my shoelace, I wasn't looking at mine. I was looking to double check his. Okay, he did it to make it look like he was doing his. Magni Duvna says, look at someone else. Try to reach a point where you care for their feelings like you care for your own family members. And again, he's talking to us. He's talking to regular people.